On the line to talk further about these developments, Professor John Stremlauer, Honorary Professor of International Relations at Wits University. Great to have you on the show, John.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happening at the WHO and this international treaty. How significant is it, and what do we know about the commitments that have been agreed to or are they trying to get consensus on?
Well, we don't really know how much they actually agree on, but they did in Rome, the G20 did in Rome on October 30, 31, tone, and I've looked at the at the declaration and the report that was issued from that. And certainly Cyril Ramaphosa had every reason to draw attention to the divergence from that, especially when South Africa acted so morally and responsibly in getting the information out as quickly as possibly could, as accurately as could. The contrast with the Chinese, for example, remember back in when the first COVID showed its head in Wuhan, they were very, very secretive, and they've been secretive. But South Africa responded responsibly, and they were punished for it by action, and that is unfair. And the spirit of the tourism section of the G20 and the May 21st guidelines on future of tourism would suggest that Joe Biden was right in lifting the embargo against the trade restrictions against South Africa 3 weeks ago. Now he's put them back on for political reasons. It's politics. It's not money. It's politics.
It's politics that has severe financial consequences, of course, for our entire travel sector, John. And the president using very strong language last night, he's clearly absolutely irate at the international response. Is it likely to have any impact, though? I mean, I see that the BBC is running with South Africa's response as its lead story and has been since last night. Do you think Boris Johnson and co. are going to care that the South African president is upset and feels they have broken the spirit of the agreements? Do you think they're likely to backpedal at all in the face of the international objection to their response?
Well, at this stage, I can only say I hope so. I mean, President Ramaphosa was very, very diplomatic last night and very clear and very responsible. And it sort of made me long for that kind of an intelligent speech from American leaders, actually, of course, after Donald Trump. But, you know, to say that he was deeply disappointed, I would be furious because it really was a betrayal. And insult to injury, although we don't know what was actually said between Dr. Pandor and Tony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, on the 27th of this month. But Blinken did specifically praise South Africa for the responsible way that his scientists quickly got the word out authoritatively to the world and for the transparency in sharing information. Now, that's his spokesperson giving that as the we don't know what they talked about with regard to the restrictions, but my guess is Biden is speaking to the American people tonight about this variant, and maybe, just maybe, he'll do the right thing and say, look, embargoes don't work. He said that against Trump, by the way, and the Republicans are hitting the drum on that one. But to do this, and he said he did it for his cautionary reasons, but it was political reasons. He didn't want to. He's in a very, very tight spot politically in the U.S., and he didn't want to have public opinion shift against him when we have this new variant.
To bring it back to what's happening in Geneva and the attempts to reach consensus on this international treaty for future pandemic response, John, coming into it to sit around the table with partners who have shown themselves to be not good to their word, if we can put it that way, sets it off on a very poor footing. 3 days allocated to the special open General Assembly today to try and hack out some kind of agreement. How strong do you reckon are the chances of that happening now?
Well, you know, you're talking about frontier international relations. I don't want to sound academic, but, you know, states, sovereign states are sovereign states, and democratic sovereign states have the publics that hold them accountable. That's the paradox of this situation we're in right now. I think Boris Johnson was absolutely irresponsible, but I have no brief for Boris Johnson. I mean, he's the Brexit man, for God's sakes. I just hope the British don't get alcohol for Christmas, because as a result of that, you know, the deliveries are limited. Travis, I mean, it's just crazy. So Boris Johnson takes a preemptive act. Then other people feel they have to follow along behind. They are still sovereign states. Now, if the WHO can get some progress on this, it's a sign that maybe down the road for future pandemics, which there certainly will be, we need international regimes. We need an international regime for climate change. We all know that. But, you know, these are still, we're still in a world of 193 sovereign states, and they don't like to be pushed around. And so they want to, they feel they have their own prerogatives rather than human rights prerogatives. South Africa is really out there as a human rights constitution, and in terms of its willingness to sort of be a good partner with the rest of the international community. And so far it's been punished for it, and I hope there's not a reaction here, because I do think that President Ramaphosa acted absolutely responsibly and in an inspiring way. I mean, he really showed leadership here.
Professor John Stremlau, thank you so much for your comments. Honorary Professor of International Relations at Wits University.